Hello and welcome to this Economy and Infrastructure Wales podcast brought to you by Business News Wales. I'm Gemma Casey, editor of Business News Wales, and across our next two episodes, we'll be focusing on one of the most significant infrastructure projects in the UK, the Global Centre of Rail Excellence, or GCRE, in South West Wales. GCRE is set to become Europe's leading site for rail research, testing and innovation, a place where new net zero technologies can be developed, proven and brought to market faster. It aims to attract customers from across the UK, Europe and internationally, and it also offers huge opportunities for economic development and regional collaboration here in Wales. Well, joining me to discuss the significance of the centre are Simon Jones, CEO at GCRE, and Mark John, Chair of the South West Wales Corporate Joint Committee Private Sector Advisory Board and co-founder of Tramshed Tech. Hi both, and thanks for joining me for this special episode. Simon, I'm going to come to you first if I can. I've given a very brief background there about the Global Centre of Rail Excellence, but put some meat on the bones for us. Tell us a little bit more about this initiative.
Thanks, Gemma. Thanks for having me, and good to see Mark again. Yes, so this is a policy initiative of the Welsh Government. This is an economic development project primarily. So although it's got rail in the title, it's really about kind of job creation, about prosperity, about net zero, and applying the kind of climate change principles to the railway, about creating a cluster of innovation in South Wales. So this has been around for a little while. This was a project that came out of work done inside Welsh Government, which was looking at different ways that we could bring economic development projects to Wales, and this is a different way of doing that. So this is about creating a place that businesses from across Europe will want to be able to use, and then to be able to build a cluster around that because of the uniqueness of the proposition.
And what are some of the things those businesses will be coming to the centre to do?
So we will be building Europe's premier testing facility for rail innovation. So what does that mean? It's a couple of really big test tracks for testing both trains, but also really importantly, testing infrastructure. So there are places in Europe where you can test trains on a loop of track. There's nowhere in the UK that allows you to be able to test trains on a loop of track at this scale and this speed. But there is nowhere in Europe where you can really come and test infrastructure. And when I talk about infrastructure, railway infrastructure, that's everything which doesn't move. So that's the signals, the track itself, the electrification systems, the telecoms, and really importantly, how all of those things interact with one another. And that's a really big problem for the rail industry, not just in the UK, but overseas. These systems are getting more and more sophisticated as time goes on, and they're all made by different manufacturers. And when you bring them all together, they don't always work day one. So you've got to do a lot of work and testing and all the rest of it. And you know, just to give you a use case of this, of that sort of what we call system integration challenge, when Crossrail, which is now the Elizabeth Line, a huge success, was being built, it was significantly delayed and significantly over budget at the end because of the challenges that they had around system integration. So they had brand new trains, there were three signaling systems, there was a telecom system, there were ventilation systems, platform screen doors, and goodness knows whatever else. And getting all of those things to work together seamlessly was a real challenge for the engineers working on the site. And all of that lot, of course, was being done in the tunnel under London. So a really expensive environment for doing that. What we're creating is a place where a lot of that can be done offline in advance of being taken to the site. And, you know, just to give you a sense, the cost overrun on Crossrail was £3 billion. So this is a challenge that all major railway projects have to some extent or another. And it's not just a UK problem, it's a problem overseas. But that's just one aspect. System integration is one aspect. That, you know, testing new trains is a real problem. There are places where you can prove that the train meets all the standards, and That's great. But what you can't do because of lack of capacity is things like fault-free running. So just proving that the train, each train, when it's first introduced, just continues to work properly, is that it's reliable when it's first introduced. And there aren't places that you can do that. So what that means for customers is that new trains are often unreliable. So it's a problem for the railway industry, again, across Europe. So we're creating somewhere that people can test trains and infrastructure. Significant demand for this, Gemma. We've had nearly 250 letters of support from businesses in the UK and overseas, telling us that they want to be able to use this facility once it's up and running. About 20% of those are overseas businesses, just to give you a sense. So this is a big export opportunity as well. And I suppose the reason why this is so exciting for Wales is that once we've built this, you can't go move it somewhere else. This thing stays, and it will act as a magnet to draw businesses in from across the UK and Europe. And just to finish on one more little example on that. So whilst there isn't a loop site of this scale in the UK, there are test tracks in the UK for the automotive industry. So places that you may have heard of, places you may not have heard of. So places like Silverstone and Myra in the Midlands and Millbrook in Buckinghamshire. These are fantastic facilities that have been created for testing new cars, new road vehicles. But if you are lucky enough to be able to go to one of these places, what stands out is that they're actually huge, big technology parks. Now their customers have based their R&D departments or chunks of their R&D departments at these places because they need to be able to use those test facilities all year round. That's what the intention is for GCRE. So we'll build the test track and our clients will pop in and pop out doing their tests, but some of those people will put down routes on the site. And that's really where the big economic development opportunity arises.
And we'll come on to talk about that in much more detail in a second, Simon. Where exactly is this site in South West Wales?
So we are at the top of the Dulles Valley, on the ridge between the Dulles Valley and the Swansea Valley. So it's an extraordinary setting. It's on a former open cast coal mining site, just outside the village of Oncloyne, not far away from Ester Gunlice. A stunning location right next to the national park. From the top of the mound in the middle of the site, you can see down to the Swansea Bay to the south, and you can see the mountains of the national park behind us. So it's a fantastic location. But it's a location that has really suffered from kind of economic downturns over recent years. So when we first acquired the site, there were 250 people working there on the open cast. All those jobs have gone now because the open cast closed. We're 15 miles from the Tata Steelworks, with its kind of well-publicised job losses down there, numbering into the thousands. So this is an area that could really do with some significant upside when it comes to economic development. And that's one of the reasons why we're there. It's not the only reason. We needed somewhere big. We needed somewhere with a railway connection. We needed somewhere where we could build a railway and operate it 24 hours a day. And those ingredients are hard to come by. But actually, the location is perfect for achieving the full ambition of the government's economic regeneration ambition.
Thank you, Simon. Mark, let's bring you in there then. So, as I said in the intro, you are the chair of the South West Wales Corporate Joint Committee Private Sector Advisory Board. Simon has given us a little hint there about the significance of the location of this new development. Tell us a little bit about the potential as you see it in terms of what this might mean for the local area.
Yeah, thanks, Gemma, and nice to be speaking to you again, Simon. Simon mentions the site. I was actually up there a few weeks ago and have seen it. It's, as Simon says, it's actually a spectacular setting. interestingly, from my point of view, it straddles two of Wales's four growth zones. So it spans both South West Wales, where I'm, as you say, the chair of the Private Sector Advisory Board, but also Mid Wales. And, you know, we have been having conversations with Mid Wales about how we might be able to work together on projects like this, for instance. An amazing site, you know, it's this 700 hectare, I think. Simon describes it as being equivalent to the size of Gibraltar, which I think gives you a sort of sense of the scale of the thing. And I think the opportunity is massive. You know, if you look at the, you know, the whole of Wales and how it's having to move out of its heavy industrial phase into new ways of working, bringing in new technologies. You know, the site there on the site of the former open cast mine at Tonfloin. Take that out of the community. What do we have to go in to replace it? I think GCRE is extremely significant in this respect. And in fact, I noticed something recently, a Sunday Times sort of piece, a headline recently talking about HS2 and the latest challenge for HS2, where it is having to cut the speed of its trains to save money because every extra mile of top speed increases the rail line's cost by £1 billion. And the plan, this is sounds so crazy, was to ship the trains to China to be tested, right? So this is the way they could work this out. And they'd either have to send them to China to test them or wait until the line itself is constructed before being put through trials. So basically, you've got HS2 with its billions and billions and billions of pounds, you know, which, as you know, has an implication for Wales as well. We are included in the England and Wales part of HS2, even though not a meter of track comes through Wales. And it means the project would have to wait for a bespoke test track to be built before they can do any completion work on it, costing billions of pounds, or to send trains to China. This is exactly why, if we had this track up and running now, that could be performing exactly this function. And as Simon says, this is an asset which, you know, unlike hot money, you know, which flows in and out chasing interest rate, you know, gilt yields, etc. This is an asset which is firmly physically located in Wales. And that's why I've been very supportive of it for a long time. In fact, long before I even joined the South West Wales Private Sector Board, I was aware of the GCRE project, you know, in my role as a co-founder at Tramshed. I'd spoke to Simon extensively, you know, over the years about what a great project it was and what we might be able to do to support it. So I think it's something that when you start looking at some of the key assets, the big infrastructure projects that Wales, you know, could have on its books, particularly at this point where we're about to go into potentially a new phase of government, I think it's important that we identify what are some of those key assets. And certainly from a South West Wales point of view, where this sits at the top of the Neath Patalbet local authority, at the top of that valley, this has long been on the roster, shall we say, of projects that the Swansea Bay City deal previously would like to support. So where we are in terms of that is that the South West Wales CJC, the Corporate Joint Committee, is basically... That's the transformation out of the previous Swansea Bay City deal into a new statutory authority, which is the CJC, which is where the private sector board that I chair sort of sits. So GCRE was already part of that £1.3 billion program under the Swansea Bay City deal to promote regional growth, economic regeneration, combining public and private sector funding. And that Swansea Bay City deal was looking to boost regional GVA by 1.8 billion, create 10,000 jobs over 15 years. So having GCRE named as part of that portfolio was very important. It was one of the, you know, one of the nine projects that were actually outlined there. As we move into the CJC phase of South West Wales, it is again named in the new regional South West Wales regional investment strategy and prospectus, which we are just about to publish, which is now being signed off and finalized. GCRE is named in that as one of the pipeline projects that we would like to see going forward. That will be of immense importance for the whole of the region. So I can't think of any sort of really comparative projects in terms of transport. As you know, we've got transport plans being delivered across Wales. South West Wales has also delivered its transport plan. It's got its metro system. This is a key component part of that, and this is why I'm so keen to see it come to the table and to be realised, to be fully realised.
Thank you, Mark. Simon, Mark talks there about GCRE being part of a pipeline of potential projects. From your point of view, what is the timeline to actually bringing this to fruition, and what needs to happen before we see it up and running and able to do the kind of testing that Mark has highlighted there, HS2, for example?
Yeah, so it's been quite a long and challenging road for us, Gemma. When we first went to market to try to bring in private sector money into this, we had high hopes that we would be able to bring in that investment. Unfortunately, the macroeconomic conditions have been really tough for us, really, really tough. When we initially went to market, it was only 6 months after the mini budget and the spike in interest rates and the consequential effect on inflation. But it's also a time of some political uncertainty, particularly around rail. You know, the former UK government was wrestling with some of the challenges that COVID had done, and the impact that COVID had had on rail patronage and the revenue. That government then went on to cancel a big chunk of HS2 as well. So rail, what really was a kind of what wasn't seen as a policy priority, I suppose, in the eyes of the market for government, and the macroeconomic conditions made it difficult. So we were unable to raise money from the market at that time. And we've done a lot of speaking to the market subsequently about what would need to happen to be able to make this an investable proposition, and we've been working with government about that as well. So it's clear that it can be funded. I mean, that's the really encouraging news. There is appetite to fund it. The market sees this as a really interesting proposition because it kind of touches a whole load of policy bases for them, but there's no appetite for the market to take all of the risk themselves. So they would need a kind of government backing to be able to take that. So the government taking more of the risk than was originally envisaged. Now, it's not unusual for governments to take risk when there are major infrastructure projects. You know, the entire renewable energy industry in the UK is based on the contract for difference, which is essentially a guarantee that the government provides that says the minimum price that you'll be able to sell energy for is X from this proposition. And I guess that's what we, you know, that is what we need from our project. So one of the challenges that investors have had, and it's understandable, is that we don't have any contracts yet with our clients for selling our services. And the reason we don't have any contracts is because it's 4 or 5 years into the future before we would be able to be open. And until we've got an investor behind us, our clients, our prospective clients, are not really willing to sign a contract for use of a facility that may or may not exist. So we've got this kind of endless chicken and egg situation. So government is going to need to be able to break that cycle to allow GCRE to proceed. We've spent a fair bit of time working through what the proposition is. Not unreasonably, the current administration in Cardiff Bay said, look, actually, this is a big decision. It needs to be made by the incoming government, and I think there have been various ministerial statements about that in recent months saying that. So it's really, you know, our what happens next is really in the hands of the incoming administration to kind of make some decisions about. So we need some funding certainty, but then, as I've indicated, it's probably 4 or 5 years away because we've got to go through a whole consenting regime again on this, Gemma, to be able to get this away. In the meantime, there are other things which are going on, which I can talk about a little bit more in a moment, if that would be useful. But for a future administration, there are some big prizes here. You know, Mark talked about the ambitions for GVA impact across the region. Well, this project alone, according to a bit of work that PwC did for us a little while ago, will generate £300 million of GVA in the region over the course of just the next 10 years, creating over 1,000 jobs. So it's a really, really impactful project for a future administration to consider.
Thank you, Simon. And Mark, picking up on the impact of this potential project, what about skills? Now, we've talked about the significance of where this centre will be based. Lots and lots of skills already in that area from legacy industry. What difference do you think this development could make from a skills point of view to people in the area?
Yeah, I think it's a fundamental core point. How do we provide the skills and the skilled workforce we require for Wales's future? Interesting. I've just literally come back in the past few weeks from being on the west coast of the US, looking at different industries there, looking at things like the impact of AI upon certain industries. I was struck in Seattle. I was in Seattle for a week, struck by a major employer there, again, in the sort of transport, but here we're talking about aerospace. Boeing are one of the key employers in the Seattle, in the northwest of America. We went to their main site in Everett, and this was a site which saw 30,000 people clocking on and off during one day, right? This is a major, major employer in the region. And it meant it had a whole series of supply chain skills providers set up purely to provide workforce skilled at a very high specialist level that could go into jobs into Boeing. This idea is that we've got some fantastic industry opportunities, but we are yet to have that bespoke skilled workforce that we require for this. So this is where there's a huge opportunity, I think, to look at how we are funding that skills development. As you say, Gemma, you know, that's got an area like places like Tata just down the valley, where you've got a skilled workforce who, you know, with a bit of repurposing, could easily be working on the sort of projects that Simon is talking about. We've also got an opportunity, I think, through the recently announced local growth fund, which is going to be rolled out across Wales, you know, via the regional authorities and the local authorities, to actually be identifying core projects that would benefit from certain types of skills. And this isn't just, by the way, advanced manufacturing skills, specialist skills. This is also how do we take some of those technology skills, which will sit across every market segment. How can we use some of those also to upskill our workforce? So things around AI adoption, for instance, the use of this and the effect of that upon the supply chain into places like GCRE. And I think also this does touch upon some of Simon's plans, because I know that we have discussed in the past whether there would be things that could come out of the recently announced AI growth zones for Wales. Obviously, we've got £20 billion worth of growth zones coming into Wales, primarily around supporting data centres, for instance, which are going to be required to fuel this AI revolution we're going through. And it is a revolution. It's going to transform everything. And then Sam Simon's been, you know, having conversations around that space as well, to see to what extent could that be supporting activities up there. So I think from a regional perspective, from a Southwest Wales perspective, it's important that skilled workforce is actually, the decisions are made now that can mean that in 5 years' time, we will have that skilled workforce. You know, time, effort, funding needs to go into that. But also, what are some of those skills requirements going to be in 5 years' time compared to where they are now? Again, someone that I met in North America recently in my trip said that because of things like AI and the skills required in certain industrial sectors, things are going to change more in the next 6 months than they have in the previous 10 years. You know, this is the rate of change. And I think we've got to be thinking now about what that's going to look like in, let's say, 3 to 5 years by the time Simon and his test track are up and running.
Yeah. And Simon, Mark talked there about AI growth zone and various of these UK government initiatives. And you talked earlier about the role of the Welsh government in bringing this to fruition. But To what extent do your plans also have synergies with a lot of the priorities of the UK government, for example, its industrial strategy and so on?
So, I mean, the industrial strategy question is a really interesting one. It's on some levels, it's been a challenge. On other levels, it provides opportunity. So rail is not identified as one of the kind of pillars of the industrial strategy. But nonetheless, we are adjacent to a whole load of things like advanced manufacturing and AI and various energy and various other bits and pieces, which are all significant parts of what we're doing. So I think there's a kind of policy framework there which could be advantageous to us. I mean, sometimes we're difficult to categorize for governments who like to who sometimes like to work in silos. So. Because we offer policy advantages in a whole load of areas, sometimes that can be quite challenging, and we work across different departments. So that's challenging, but I think it also provides a really significant opportunity for a whole load of the reasons that I've talked about. So yes, we work closely with both Welsh and UK governments on this because it is of interest to both governments. It can be challenging to get the attention that we want because of that, because we've got so many different touch points. But nonetheless, I think there's a really strong sense of support at a political level for what we're trying to do.
Mark, Simon mentioned silos there, which is a common problem, isn't it, in terms of these major projects. But I'm interested to know from you, to what extent is there an opportunity to overcome this silo working with this project? And I'm thinking you've already alluded to corporate joint committees coming together to look at this. It will obviously cut across lots of different local authorities, and that's even before we start to talk about, as Simon has said, it cutting across different government departments and different government priorities. Mark, how do we make sure that we don't fall into that silo mentality with something like this?
Yeah, it's part of what I spend a lot of my life doing, Gemma, is to try and sort of join the dots, if you like, to think of it as a Venn diagram. You know, if you think of the different bits of that Venn diagram where it's the triple helix of private sector, public sector, academia, the quadruple helix of community. What I try and do is sit in the middle of that overlapping bit of the Venn diagram and allow these conversations to happen. I think that's really important because when you think of transport, transport policy, transport, the mechanics of it, it's the golden thread that joins all this together. Without an efficient transport network and transport policy, it's impossible to build a proper, industrial strategy. It's impossible to do a lot of this stuff. So transport needs to sit necessarily sort of as one of those joining functions, sits like a blanket over everything. So it has to supersede this sort of silo mentality. Part of what I've been trying to do, specifically around South West Wales, is to look at where are there some of our core strengths, where there's some of our areas of focus, our USPs, if you like, things we could focus on and say, this is what South West Wales is really good at. And I've been doing that for a long time with Wales in general, working with the Welsh government, its international arm, going out there and saying, Wales is a land of technology. These are the real core strengths of our country, whether that's compound semiconductors or creative sector or whatever it may be. So from a South West Wales point of view, clearly energy, material resilience, advanced manufacturing are going to be a core offer. And I think the GCRE fits really well into that sort of, seen through that lens, if you like. I mentioned the new investment strategy. That idea is to position us as a UK leading centre for energy security, materials security, for looking at how we can move from our previous heavy industrial base into new ways of using advanced manufacturing, for instance. And that is looking to put Wales on the map and South West Wales on the map to say, here we are, here are some, UK leading, world leading strengths that we can boast to in this region. That's where I'd position GCRE in that. And what we have here is an opportunity to sit across four local authorities, you know, so that all the four of Swansea, Neath Port Talbot, Pembrokeshire and Carmarthen are all represented in that CJC. Thankfully, that CJC has a strong relationship with Welsh Government. I think it was important that the local growth fund was identified as Welsh Government being the recipients of that from the UK Government, and that now being distributed via CJCs to those local authorities. So there's a sense in which those silos are starting to get broken down geographically, shall we say. I think it's important that sectorally they're also broken down. You know, that when you look at the industrial strategy of the UK government, the eight sectors, clearly transport sits across all of this as a sort of, again, one of those unifying threads. And I think that when you start looking at what should the UK, you know, what should Wales, what should the UK be investing in at a public sector and a private sector level, then it begs the question of, well, if we have large organizations like, let's say, the National Wealth Fund, which are tasked with the growth of the infrastructure across the UK, if we have things like the Wales Pension Partnership, you know, which has 28 billion of Welsh pension funds looking to invest in Wales, then I would have thought that GCRE is exactly the sort of scaled project with a long-term legacy. And as Simon said, with the, you know, the GBA uplift, the jobs uplift, you know, that's exactly the sort of project I would have thought that should be sort of very firmly in the center of the radar of some of those organizations, to use government money, public sector money, whether that's UK, Welsh government, even CJC money, to use that as a flywheel to bring in then, to crowd in private sector investment, which actually is exactly what the investment strategy for South West Wales is all about. How do we bring in private sector money to sit alongside the pump priming money from the public sector? That is also, by the way, been echoed in, you know, a bid that's gone into the Local Innovation Partnership funding from South West Wales around material security, the decarbonisation agenda, which will also have a multiplier effect. So using UK money, in this case, you know, UKRI money, research and innovation money, to actually pump prime, bringing in investor opportunities to be selling this part of Wales to the world. So this is why GCRE is important, not just in itself, but as an exemplar of the sort of high-grade, large-scale projects that Wales should be selling to the world.
Simon, at the very start of this episode, you used the word cluster. And Mark has just talked about selling this part of Wales to the world. What potential is there, do you think, for GCRE to be at the heart of a new cluster in much the same way as we've seen the semiconductor cluster grow up around the Newport and Cardiff areas?
So, I mean, it's central to our plan, frankly, Gemma. That's the heart of what we're trying to do. Just to kind of go back a bit, we the facility that we will have, the rail facility that we will have here, will be unique to Europe. And we know that our clients are crying out to use this place. Mark's just given a good example with HS2, but you know, there are many, many examples. Some of those businesses will put down roots at our site. And we deal with businesses of all sorts of different sizes and scales on a daily basis. And we're already fielding inquiries from people who want to take space at the site. So I'm really confident that cluster will grow and develop over time, drawn to South Wales by the fact that what we have to offer is just not available anywhere else. So, on the face of it, it's quite a logistical challenge for our organizations to say, well, I tell you what, we're going to up sticks from where we are in the Midlands, and we're going to move parts of our organization down to South Wales. But, you know, that's what the railway does. The railway moves people around anyway. People are going all over Europe to be able to do this kind of testing at the moment. Most of the testing, new trains for the UK, or an awful lot of it, happens in the Czech Republic. So people are taking brand new trains from the UK to the Czech Republic for testing. So actually coming over to South Wales is a heck of a lot easier. And then putting down some routes with us is the next logical step. And as I say, we have seen that in action in the automotive sector, you know, a very closely aligned sector to the one we are operating in. That's exactly what's happened there. So we have a lot of confidence that this is going to is going to work. I mean, I should just talk about a couple of other aspects to what we're about, Gemma, which just really adds to the story. So our ambition is for GCRE to be the UK's first net zero railway. So we want the energy that is used by the railway to be generated on site. So and we think that's really, really important, given that rail transport needs to be at the forefront of decarbonisation of transport in the UK. So that's an important aspect for what we're doing. And Mark touched on a little bit some of the AI strands to this. So we're also talking to prospective partners about the development of data centers on the site. And that's a really interesting piece of work for us. And we're actively talking to a number of organizations at the moment about the prospect of data centers being developed on the site. And for us, that's a means to an end. You know, data centers have got a bit of a, you know, in some quarters they have a bit of a bad press, that they take up a lot of land and a lot of power and they don't create many jobs. And taken in isolation, that's certainly true. In our case, that activity is complementary to what we're trying to do with the railway. You know, our intention, bluntly, is to use the proceeds of any sale of land to develop data centers on the site, to be able to be a kind of down payment on getting the railway away. So reducing the burden on government for the next phase of GCRE, if that's where they want to go. But also really interestingly in the margins of this is the amount of money that data centers pay in non-domestic rates, business rates. I mean, these are huge sums of money, Gemma, that these organizations pay because of the value of the buildings, the size of the buildings, the level of activity. So the amount of money that we need to be able to get GCRE away is completely dwarfed by the amount of money that will be generated on the site in property taxes as a result of hopefully getting some major data center activity away there. So we're seeing this as a kind of complementary activity to the railway, complementary and a platform to allow us to build on, to be able to do the really exciting stuff, which is the railway, which is where the economic prosperity, the kind of localization agenda, the clustering stuff happens as a result of the railway. But the data center stuff is the platform that allows us to be able to make that happen. So, you know, it's quite an exciting time for us at the moment as we are working with these potential partners on what a solution might look like there.
Thank you, Simon. Now, I'm conscious of time. So to finish up, I'd like to ask each of you one final question. And that is that we've heard their great plans, great ambitions, and a real clear story about the potential impact for this scheme as well. But what would be your one key ask or key recommendation going forward in order to move things on for this really ambitious project? Mark, can I start with you?
Yeah, it would be, this forms part of a portfolio of really exciting projects that we are looking to bring forward from South West Wales. That was the whole point of commissioning an investment strategy. Now, I was conscious that we have some great assets in the region, great both existing projects and future pipeline and potential projects, but we didn't have a central plan, a strategy around which we could take out to market. This is exactly why we commissioned the investment strategy, and this is exactly why GCRE sits within that investment strategy. This is a way of saying to, not just to the rest of Wales or the rest of the UK, but saying to the world, we have some world-leading projects here in Wales. So we have a skilled workforce who could be skilled to come into some of these highly specialist roles. This could be a way of addressing some of the issues we have in as we repurpose ourselves as a nation from our heavy industrial past into a new way of working, using cutting edge, leading edge skills, which include things like AI,
to actually develop that skilled workforce. These are things that we should be out going out to the world and shouting about. I will certainly be there in UK Reef in May, exactly talking about these are some of the world-class projects that Wales had. Investors, come and look at Wales. There's some great stuff happening here. We may be under the radar at the moment, but we're going to keep shouting about this and shouting ever more loudly and saying, look at Wales, look at the great stuff we're doing. You should be coming to us.
Thank you, Mark. And Simon, your key ask or recommendation?
Well, I mean, it's a crucial time for us, Gemma. We're a few weeks away from the Senate elections. And I guess, you know, the outcome of that is kind of more open than we've ever seen since the advent of devolution. We want to work closely with whoever the incoming administration is to understand their appetite for taking GCRE forward. As I said earlier on, it will need some support from Welsh Government. It doesn't need to cost anything, but it needs their support. And we want to work positively with whoever forms that new administration to understand their appetite for taking GCRE forward. And we think that it's actually quite a compelling proposition for them. You know, during the course of the next Senate term, GCRE could go from a project with where we've done lots of planning to something which is in construction by the time of the next election and employing significant numbers of people. So it could be a great success story for the next administration. And it's going to be hard, isn't it, for the new government. They've only got 4 years this time around to be able to make their mark. Here is something that is ready to go. And needn't cost the new administration, didn't need eat into any really precious budget. And, you know, budget is going to be a huge, huge problem for the next government, and how they solve the problems of perhaps increasing the appetite for economic development work at a time when they've massively budget constrained, and you know things going on in the outside world. And the kind of domestic economic impact of that, it's going to be a real challenge. And I don't envy whoever comes in the challenge of doing that. What I'd like to think though is that GCRE can offer a relatively straightforward solution without government having to take a huge amount of risk. It just needs government to say yes, this is something that we want to support, and we can get it away.
Thank you, Simon and Mark, for those final points there. Absolutely fascinating discussion, and we will watch this space with interest. Thank you very much to my guests on this Economy and Infrastructure podcast, to Simon Jones and to Mark John, and thank you for listening.